Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
I want to talk with you about something very precious to me, and that's silence, quiet, and hearing God's voice in the midst of solitude and in the quiet. I want to share with you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. This is verse 35. In the morning, a great while before day, Jesus got up and he went out to a lonely place and he prayed. And Simon Peter and those who were with him chased after him. And they found him and they said, "Everybody's searching for you." And he said, "Let's go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for this is why I came." And he went all through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. I so love that scripture because it talks about how early in the morning, even before the sun came up, Jesus went out and he prayed. And what he was doing is, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but early in the morning, it's very quiet. And what he was doing was he was trying to discern what to do and where to go. And when they finally found him, he said, "We're going to go to other places." He was having great success in Capernaum, but he discerned in the quiet. He listened to God's voice in the silence. And he sensed that God was telling him to move, to keep going, to go to all these different places. And that's exactly what Jesus did in ministry. Jesus got direction from the quiet, from the silence. And you can get direction too. You may not specifically hear an audible voice or something loud, but there are impressions and movements from deep within. And the only way you can discern them really is by getting quiet and listening to the still small voice of God. I recently watched a movie about Pope Francis, a documentary slash movie. It was called Pope Francis, A Man of His Word. And it was a delightful movie, and it showed him in many different arenas and going to different cities and dealing with different issues. And one of the realities that Pope Francis said is that he said, people today have a hard time listening. He said, we can be having a conversation, and in the midst of the conversation, people will be talking, one will be talking to another, and then all of a sudden that person that's listening will interrupt the other person. And he says, what we need to do is let people talk. Let them finish their sentences. You don't need to interrupt them. We need to listen to people, to creation, and to God. And I think he's so right on there. You know, I've tried to develop my listening skills in counseling and in confession, where I don't always interrupt people. I try to be quiet and let them have their say and to listen very well. It was Saint Benedict, the founder of Western monasticism, that said, listen with the ears of your heart. I love that. Because really, our heart, not this that's beating, the core of our being, our heart has ears. And we can listen with the ears of our heart. I remember some time ago, I was beginning with a new production company, and they're located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I went to Tulsa, and it was right across the street from Oral Roberts University. Of course, Oral Roberts was a wonderful preacher, founded this university dedicated really to listening to God. Students from all around the country and world go there. And they had this prayer tower at Oral Roberts University. It goes up a couple hundred feet. So I went up into the prayer tower and I wanted to do a little praying before we did the taping, the filming. And as I went up into the prayer tower, I noticed that the whole prayer tower was dedicated to listening. Apparently that was a big teaching of Oral Roberts. In fact, right there on the wall, it said, listen, exclamation point, listen, exclamation point. And I was looking out at Tulsa, that whole area. I'm up 200 feet high, big windows. And I saw those words, listen. And I said, you know, I'm a priest. I know how to pray. I like to listen. I'm going to get quiet and I'm going to listen. So I closed my eyes and took a deep breath and I listened and I heard a still small voice that I will never forget. And it said to me, and hopefully to you right now, don't be intimidated. I said, wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear, because I was going to a new production company and all these people and paying a lot of money and had all these talks in front of me. And what I sensed God telling me was, don't be inadequate. Don't feel bad about yourself. Stand up to this challenge. I am with you. Don't be intimidated. And so I think that's a word for you too. Maybe you're facing a health challenge or a relationship problem or a dream that you want to see come to pass, or maybe some tribulation in your future that you're dealing with right now. And I want to tell you that word from God that came to me through silence, don't be intimidated. Stand up to your challenges. Be strong, because God is with you. And I have to tell you, that taping, that filming that I did went really well. I didn't let all the stuff and the distractions intimidate me. I stood up to it. I listened to that word. But my point is, it all came in silence as I listened. And you can get adept to hearing the voice of God too. And by the way, that voice that came to me, that word, don't be intimidated, wasn't just for that filming. It's for all of my life, I came to realize. Whenever I face meetings or preaching or new filmings or writing books or whatever my challenges are in life, I remember that word that God spoke to me at that moment up in the Oral Roberts Tower, don't be intimidated. That was a word for my whole life, and I believe I'm sharing it with you. That's a word for you too. Now, our Catholic Church has had a great tradition of listening. Certainly at Mass, as you know, when we come to Mass, Mass is a prayer. We pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit. And it's called the Liturgy of the Eucharist. Well, the first half of Mass is called the Liturgy of the Word. That's when we listen to the Word of God. We proclaim the homily, and you sit and you listen. And listening to the scriptures, listening to the homily, listening to prayers, that is a prayer also. Prayer isn't always just speaking. Prayer is listening. Somebody said one time, and I love this, that the reason why God gave us two ears and one mouth is so that we would listen twice as much as we speak, or even more than twice as much. And so really, at the beginning of Mass, we are, the first half of Mass really, until the Liturgy of the Eucharist, till we present the gifts, we are praying by listening. We hear the Word of God. And then the Church has had a rich tradition of listening to God also in the people that originally went to the desert. I'm talking about the fathers and the mothers of the desert. I think about St. Anthony, for example, who was a leader in that. Years ago, in the year about 250, St. Anthony went out into the desert. He was listening to the scriptures, and he came upon that scripture, that gospel, where Jesus says to the rich young man, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and follow me. And he took that literally, and he sold everything that he had, and he, with poverty, went out into the desert, apart from everything, lived a life of solitude, and he listened. And many people were attracted to his lifestyle because they realized that the idolatry and the distractions and the noise of life wasn't doing it for them, and they wanted a deeper relationship with God. So they went out into the desert, devoid of attractions and distractions, and they spent time in the desert simply in quiet. In the desert came that beautiful prayer, Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on me. And oftentimes in the desert, what they would do is simply meditate on that over and over again. If you've ever participated in centering prayer or a contemplative prayer, oftentimes what you'll do is you'll get a word, a love word, and you won't chant it, but you'll let it echo in your heart, something like Jesus or love or wisdom. And what it does is it helps you to focus, because you'll get distracted, and you just kind of let all the distractions go by you like a river going right by you, you focus on that word, and that brings you back to your center. So that's really important. Our church has always had a focus on that. Some people think, well, centering prayer, contemplative prayer, that's those Eastern religions and everything, and we shouldn't be doing that. That's New Age. No, that's not true at all. The church has always had that tradition. Ever since the church fathers went out there, the church mothers, in the 200s. So the church has had a rich tradition of contemplative and centering prayer. I think about Benedict. Saint Benedict lived in the 400s, and he went out into the desert in a way of speaking. I'm talking about Saint Benedict, and he built a monastery at Monte Cassino, just south of Rome. I've been there. It's up a pretty high mountain. And he founded, really, he's called the founder of Western monasticism. He wanted to develop a way of following Christ different than living in the world. He wanted to come apart from the world and spend time in silence and solitude, and that's exactly what he did. He developed a rule called the Rule of Saint Benedict, and in that rule he talks about real simple things like prayer and reading and work and sleep. And it's a very simple way to follow Christ. Well, he was the founder of Western monasticism, and by the way, his sister Saint Scholastica also founded a monastery for sisters. He was the founder, but multitudes of people have followed his way, his rule, the Benedictines. But also after him, there's been the Trappists and the Camaldolese and the Dominicans and the Franciscans and the Passionists, the Redemptorists. These are all religious communities in the Catholic Church that have a tremendous desire for solitude and intimacy with God through meditation and prayer, through silence. And so these monastic traditions have all risen up in the church. The church has a tremendous tradition of prayer and solitude and silence before God. And so I say all this because I want you to develop this in your life, because solitude and silence and being quiet isn't just for monks, and it's not just for nuns. I believe it's for all people. All people have that capacity to listen with the ears of their heart. I want to tell you a little bit about my community, the Passionists. You see my Passionist habit that I'm wearing here. I've been a religious now for over 30 years, and I joined a community dedicated to the Passion of Jesus Christ. We're called the Congregation of the Passion. We were founded in the 1700s in Italy by a saint, Saint Paul of the Cross, Paul Danio, subsequently canonized Saint Paul of the Cross. And we were founded to really meditate on the Passion and proclaim God's love to all. Saint Paul wanted his monasteries to be called retreats because he had a spirituality of listening, of being quiet. And then he was, in addition to being contemplative, he was apostolic. So his rhythm was like this. Just as Jesus left the bosom of the Father and went out and ministered, and then returned to the bosom of the Father to listen and to be loved, so for St. Paul of the Cross, his missionaries, and that's what I do full time, I'm an itinerant missionary, would leave the bosom of the Father, leave prayer, go out and minister, and then come back, retreat to the bosom of the Father, spend time in solitude and silence and prayer, contemplation, active meditation, meditating upon the cross, spending time thinking about the sufferings of Jesus, then going back out. So he called it retreating. So we named our monasteries, and this is what he wanted, we named our monasteries retreats. We have retreat centers all around the country. I live at our retreat center in Houston, Texas. We have retreats in Los Angeles and Sacramento, Detroit, Florida, New York, all kinds of different places. And we are in 64 countries in the world. And our missionaries go out and preach the gospel, as I said, and we also have chaplains and we do all kinds of different ministries. But the key to it all is that we continue to retreat, to go away from the world, spend time in community, but especially time in solitude time in prayer, time in meditation, time in listening to the voice of God. Then, fed by grace, fed by this wonderful voice of God that we discern in our prayer time, then we go back out and proclaim the good news through television, through writing, through preaching, in many different ways. And we have opened up our retreat centers to the public. Men, women, married couples, Protestants, alcoholics. It's called Come on a Retreat. We have a saying, treat yourself to a retreat. And on a retreat, you hear talks and you meet people and you have good meals. But the key to it all is you spend time in quiet. Spend time praying about your life. Spend time getting to the center. Spend time trying to get to the foundation of what's going on in your life. So I invite you, treat yourself to a retreat. Go to my website, fathercedric.org. You'll find out about our retreat centers there. We'd love to have you if you're near any of those places. Houston, Detroit, Sacramento, Los Angeles, New York, Florida. Look for Passionist Retreat Center or any other retreat center of any community. Will help you in prayer. And I really believe that it will help you to get to the center. And we have a saying, we have a slogan at our retreat center in Houston, the place where miracles happen. And I believe that as you spend time in quiet and solitude, you will experience a miracle in your life. So, meditation, contemplation, getting quiet, going on retreats, all part of our Catholic tradition, all part of our history, and all very necessary, I believe, if you want to follow Christ in a deep, intimate, personal way. And secular society is finding out about this too, because they actually have corporations now, like Nike and Google and Apple. They have something called meditation rooms, where their employees can actually go while they're working. They take a little break and they go to the meditation room, and they just spend time in quiet. And they have found that these meditation rooms lead to greater productivity, a decrease in stress, and better happiness on their employees. So they're telling them, you know, just don't go to lunch or don't go somewhere. Go to a meditation room and just spend a little time in quiet. See, even corporations, even secular society knows the need for prayer, or at least for meditation. So secular society, our Catholic Church, you know, we all know how important that this is. Jesus himself, if you look at his life, he knew the need for quiet. I led off this program with that statement, with that gospel reading about how Jesus in the morning, and I bet he did it every morning, got up early before the sunrise and he went off away from everybody just to get quiet, to get centered. What a way to start your day. You know what I recommend? Oftentimes you can't do it for a half an hour because you're going to get all distracted, or even 15 minutes. Just for 1 minute as you begin your day, 1 minute, sit there, just try to get into a quiet place, take a deep breath, let it out, close your eyes, and just try to get quiet. Meditate on Jesus or love or wisdom or Spirit of God. Just a simple little prayer word just to keep you centered. And you will sense God's grace flowing. And hopefully you can build up your time from a minute to 5 minutes to maybe 10 minutes. Just spend a little time, quiet your heart rate. You get centered, you meditate. It's amazing what can happen. And I'll tell you, even though you may not hear God's voice at that particular moment, what will happen is this. It will make you more susceptible to hearing God's voice as you journey throughout your day. Maybe somebody will be speaking to you and you'll be going, that's exactly what I needed to hear. Or maybe you won't interrupt them when they're speaking to you. You'll look them in the eyes and you'll listen to them talk. And you'll begin to discern the voice of God. The voice of God, I've spoken about this in other programs, comes to us in the scriptures, in creation, through animals, through books, through poetry, through artwork, through music. The voice of God comes in so many different ways. And I'm trying to help you through meditation, through contemplation, to be susceptible to God's still small voice. I studied over in Israel. They have the Mount of Temptation where Jesus supposedly was tempted. No cell towers, no attractions or distractions. What was there? Quiet, solitude, silence. Silence is golden, and that's why Jesus went there, so he could be quiet and really transcend all the attractions and all the distractions and meditate and spend time with God. And as you know, it was when he came out of the desert that he was anointed and full of the Holy Spirit and able to minister in such a powerful way. And I believe that when you get quiet, you can concentrate, get clarity, and you will be anointed with power too to live your life well. So I've participated in centering prayer, in contemplative prayer. And as I said, it's a time where every day I just try to get quiet, take a deep breath, get centered, get still, just for a minute. You can do it too. And what you're trying to do, and this is what scandalizes a lot of people, is nothing. You don't want to think of anything. You just want to empty yourself so that God can be all, so that you can be filled with the fullness of God. So that's called passive contemplation. But there's also something called active contemplation. And active contemplation is when you get quiet, you get still, and you try to meditate on something from the scriptures, for example. Paul of the Cross, the founder of our community, taught us to meditate on the Passion. He said that this is the shortest way to holiness and the way to active union with God is by spending time meditating on the Passion. That's what many of you do when you pray the Rosary, the sorrowful mysteries of the Rosary. What you're really trying to do is you're trying to meditate upon Jesus being scourged, being crucified, and the different sorrowful mysteries that happened to him. And that active contemplation can actually bring you into union with God. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, for example, a great saint, founder of the Jesuits, he advised people to take a scene from the scriptures and meditate upon it, any one of the gospel scenes. For example, the storm on the sea. And what you do is you simply put yourself in, maybe as one of the disciples, and try to picture the scene and put yourself in that scene and listen to what will happen. Rembrandt apparently liked to do that. Rembrandt, of course, the great painter, painted many gospel scenes. And one of the scenes that he painted was the stilling of the storm on the sea. And it was in the Boston Museum, very valuable portrait, very, very valuable gospel scene. What happened is it got stolen from the Boston Museum, but before it got stolen, if you saw it, here's this fishing boat. Remember the storm on the Sea of Galilee, and it's lurching up in white-capped waters. And there's Jesus asleep in the boat. There's all the disciples. And right in the middle of the boat, grabbed onto the mast for dear life, is this man, flaming red hair. And who was that? You count the people, there's Jesus, there's the 12 apostles. Who's this 13th man? It was Rembrandt. See, what was happening is he was going through, he just experienced some deaths in his family, financial problems, divorce. He was going through a storm. And what he did is he painted himself right into the picture. That is active contemplation. And so really, that's the benefits of prayer, that when you're going through a hard time, you go to the scriptures and you meditate upon Jesus and what will he say to you? And perhaps you're going through a hard time or just a normal time, you just spend time in silence. So our church has a rich and active and passive tradition of meditation. And then I wanted to share with you really quickly what happens at Mass, and that has to do with meditating on the scriptures. I told you the whole first part of Mass is the scriptures, proclaiming the Word of God. See, through the scriptures, through the Word, through the Bible, we can hear from God if you listen. And there's a great tradition in our Catholic tradition of listening to the Bible, listening to the scriptures. Vatican II, really quickly, the Fathers of Vatican II said, we speak to God when we pray. God speaks to us when we listen to the scriptures. I love that. They said, we forcefully, get this, we forcefully exhort all the Christian faithful to come to know Jesus by listening to the divine scriptures. Oh, about 10 years ago, there was a synod on the Bible, and bishops from all around the world, the Pope, cardinals were all there. And at the synod, it was all about the Bible, the scriptures, the word of God that comes through the scriptures, and how we can get people to read it. And one of the cardinals, actually it was an archbishop, Gianfranco Ravesi, said that when we read the Bible, we ought to read it like a love letter from God to us, spoken directly to us. And everybody applauded. Because really that, in a way, is what the scriptures are. It's a love letter from God to you. So I know in the past, you know, you may have heard that priests have said, don't read the scriptures. Now, bishops, the Pope, priests, we're telling you, please read the Bible. And how do you do that? Well, just get yourself a good translation, the New American Bible, not the American Bible, the New American Bible, that's the Catholic translation. 5 or 10 minutes, maybe you might want to read the mass readings. Don't try to read the whole thing in one sitting. Perhaps you have the Word Among Us or Magnificat or Our Daily Bread. Read the mass readings, really important. So when you're reading the scriptures, just spend 5 or 10 minutes and maybe look for something that might kind of touch you or jump out at you and hold on to that. And for me, I remember when I was a young man, it was seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open, ask and you shall receive. And now whenever I come to the scriptures to preach the scriptures, it's amazing how God will speak through the word of God. And then really important, it's not just enough to read the scriptures, you got to do it. You can read diet books until the cows come home, but you won't lose any weight. Same with the scriptures. You really remember what Jesus said, blessed are they who hear the word of God and do it. So if you hear something from the scriptures, make sure that you follow up on it and you do it. So the scriptures are a way in tradition that we have always heard God speaking to us. So spend some time in silence. Spend some time in meditation. Just like Jesus, spend time listening to the Word of God, and I believe that you will hear God speak to you. So prayer isn't just about speaking, it's about listening. And as you listen, you will sense new energy, you will sense power, you will sense a word for your life. Just like Jesus, who went off to pray early in the morning, and then he got direction for his ministry, God will lead and guide and direct you. Silence is golden. Don't be scandalized by silence. It's the language of love. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.